In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Speak in English and then give a summary in the end in Arabic. نقول بالإنجليزي وبعدين في الآخر نعمل نقول بالعربي كده. نراجع. So, happy eve of happy Palm Sunday, and this is the start of the Passion Week. And this coming week is going to be full of events at the church. We're going to be at the church day and night. We're going to be at the church the whole week. And from now, it's exactly 1 week from today until the resurrection. And we wanted to ask ourselves, like, we know the resurrection is the most important event in our Christianity, the crucifixion and the resurrection together. And we want to ask ourselves now, like, for this coming week, what am I hoping for by the time Easter comes? Yani, what I mean to say is, like, am I... Why will I be coming every day to church? Like, why should I come every day to church? Why should I try very hard to attend everything and read everything and be in church day and night? Is it just so we can say, like, yani, we went to church and we took the blessing, yani, akhadna baraka, and that's good enough? Before we answer that, we know that also in Easter, the symbol of Easter is the egg. And we have an egg here. And what is the symbol of the egg? The egg symbolizes like a new beginning, and it symbolizes new life. Because when the egg is still like not hatched, it's just an egg, and then it breaks, and life comes out of this egg, which appears to be dead. So the egg for us symbolizes a new beginning and new life and resurrection. It also symbolizes the resurrection. So the big thing about Easter is that it should also for us be a new beginning. Yani, as Christ entered into Jerusalem, Abuna Yusuf was telling us yesterday in Ashiya that the fathers of the church say that Jerusalem represents our hearts. So as Christ enters our hearts this week, we want to ask Him for a new beginning. Like every time we come to church, every time we're praying, we want to ask the Lord, like, please give us a new beginning, give us a new start. Yani, everything that's old that I'm having trouble with, or my struggles, or my sins, and or my weaknesses, or yani, why am I coming every day to church and I'm not growing closer to you? Why am I not, like, why do I still have the same problems with the same sins and the same sadness? So this time is the time to ask God for a new beginning. And I just want to say that this is very important, because when you think of the story of Zacchaeus, when Christ saw him on the tree, Zacchaeus came down from the tree, Jesus went to his house, and they ate together, but the presence of Jesus in his house, and it changed his life. When Christ entered into his house, it changed his life. He didn't just say, like, yeah, Rabbana gandil bayt akhadt baraka kbira, and went and told all his friends, Jesus came to my house, I'm so lucky, like, Jesus came to my house, I'm so happy. You know, that's not enough. Like, it's not enough for us to come the whole week of Bascha and say, like, akhadna baraka, alhamdulillah, but the next week is the same, like, we're still the same as we were before. So it's whenever there's a new beginning, there has to be, like, a change in our life. So that's what we really need to pray for, like, please God, change us from inside. Even the sinful woman that washed the feet of Jesus, one of these icons, I believe. The sinful woman that washed the feet of Jesus, she also didn't just say, like, yani, I'm going to go ha'addim al-tib, like, I'm going to just offer this ointment on Christ's feet, wa'khud baraka, and that's it. But her life was changed after her meeting with Jesus. So she met him, and her life was changed. So also we should ask ourselves, if we're coming to church for a very long time and we feel like there's no change in our life, and the same things that we've had problems with 10 years ago are the same things we're having problems with today. We don't feel like the impact of Christ in our life has made any difference. We just feel any. We come to church because if we don't, we'll feel guilty. And, oh, you know, it's Fashion Week. We really should come to church. Even if we don't come all year, this is the time where we should come, you know, so we don't feel bad then. But, like, Christ comes today as a king into Jerusalem, and he wants to give us so much more. And he wants to be, like, the king of our hearts. And the word Hosanna is not an English word, and it's not... like, you notice we say it in English and Coptic and Arabic. So it's not an English word, and it's not a Coptic word, and it's not an Arabic word. It's a Hebrew expression. And it means, apparently, it means Hosheana, like in Hebrew. Hosheana was found in Psalm 118 only. Like, it's the only place that it comes up is Psalm 118, verse 25. So this part gives us the meaning of Hosanna, like what it means. It, the psalmist, the person that wrote the psalm, says that, like in verse 25, it says, "Save me, I pray, O Lord." Like, "Nagini al inkizni al khalasni," you know. Yani, it's the word "save me, I pray, O Lord," is the meaning of Hosanna, like, as if someone, like, is drowning, and they're, like, asking for a very fast help. And also, part of the meaning is that, yani, the psalmist that wrote the psalm, like, through divine inspiration, the verse right after, he says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," which is also what we say. So it's like as if he saw, you know, he sees that he really needs a savior, he really needs help, but in the same time, he sees the savior coming to help him. So it's as if, like, someone is drowning and they're about to die, but they see the lifeguard coming, you know, and they say, like, save me, and in a way, they need help so urgently, but they're so happy that the lifeguard is coming to save them from drowning. And a much better example than the lifeguard is actually, like, if you think of the joy that the people in Hades were having, yani, everyone before Jesus Christ came, as you know, when they died, they went to Hades, and they waited, and they had hope. The righteous had hope that one day a savior will come and get them out of Hades and take them to heaven. So this is like, imagine, and every time someone dies and comes down, they're thinking, is this the Messiah? Maybe, like, save us. They're asking for someone to save them, help us, save us. But it turns out, like, no, that's not the Messiah. And then finally, on one day, like, think of the joy, or even when they realized Palm Sunday, maybe they already recognized that this is the Messiah and this is their Savior coming. And so as they scream, "Save us," and they see the Savior, think of how much joy they're experiencing at this point. Like, they can't wait, you know. Finally, after so much waiting and so much suffering, finally the Savior is here. So Hosanna is a shout of like asking for help and a shout of praise at the same time for the Savior. So the two important points that maybe we can focus on throughout the week and until Easter is that the first point is like, I need a Savior. Everybody here, we need a Savior, because without Jesus as the Savior, we can't get anywhere. We're stuck like an AIDS, we're going to hell, there's nothing good happening for us. So we really need a Savior to save us from our sins, a Savior to save us from our bad habits, our old lifestyles, the old man, like everything that disturbs our relationship with God. And the second point is that this Savior, we need to let him be king so that he can save us. And in order for him to save us, we need to allow him to get into our hearts and sit on the throne of our hearts as the king and take control and start to, like, give us his direction, his commandments, his life, so that, and his words, I mean, so that we can know when to go left, when to go right. So we need to also let Christ be the great king. And you know, if you compare a king of the world with the king of Jesus Christ, and King Jesus, so we have King Jesus, and then we have all the other kings that we know about from history. And if you compare the two, you'll find he's a very different type of king, like the type of king that you really fall in love with, because the kings of the world, for example, they'll only eat with high officials and VIPs, and very important people. You know, they won't mingle with the commoners. And then we have Jesus, who eats with the commoners, who eats with the tax collectors and sinners, and just the simple, humble, regular people. He wants to sit with them. He loves them. You know, and the kings of the world receive gifts and receive riches from other kingdoms, but King Jesus, he gives us gifts and he gives us his riches. You know? So these attributes make you really fall in love with this king, you know. And anyone who does not, for any regular king, if a king comes by and someone, for example, does not honor the king or does not respect the king or does not pay homage to the king, this king will put that person to death, you know. And even that's why, Nehemiah, when he was frowning in the face of the king, يعني لما كان وشه كده مش مبسوط in the presence of the king, that in itself is a very serious offense, because you don't do that in the presence of a king, and he can just kill you in a second. So, look at Jesus as the king. He comes to us on a donkey. Up there is a very large and beautiful icon. He comes to us sitting on a donkey, and he doesn't come and say, anyone who's not gonna obey my kingdom, I will kill him. That's an important question, because we get that question a lot, maybe in Sunday school and stuff. We're asked, how is it that Jesus gave us, or that God gave us free will? But if you choose not to follow him, you end up in hell. So how is that free will? But the truth is that Jesus comes as a humble king, and he's offering to be our king. We have to choose to let him be our king. And if we do choose to let him be our king, he'll save us. He'll be our savior also. And he will save us from the other kingdom of Satan. But if we don't choose to let him be our king or our savior, we've just left ourselves to the only other kingdom out there. There's only two kingdoms on the market, God and the devil. So if you don't choose this kingdom, the only other kingdom that's going to snatch you is the kingdom of hate, of hell. So that's why even in the morning I heard the verse, I think it was saying Hosanna in the highest, something, something, and then this is the king of our choice. So Christ the King comes on a donkey, and we need to choose to let him in. If you imagine a very strong king coming with a very big army and horses and all that stuff, you get scared and you're okay, I'll worship that, or I'll pay homage to that king. But Christ comes with a donkey, you know, you don't get scared when you see someone coming on a donkey, at your door. You're not gonna be afraid. And Christ doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to choose him as the king. He wants us to open the door. As he says, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens to me, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Another difference, two small differences also of a worldly king to meditate on, is that the worldly king reigns from a throne, a very big and royal throne, and it says in one of the Psalms that Christ reigns on a tree. So, look at the humility of this king. That's why I'm telling you, by just meditating on the characteristics of Jesus as our king, it's so easy to fall in love with him, because he's so humble and he comes to us so lovingly and he wants to give us so much. He doesn't impose himself on anyone. And instead of the crown that kings wear, which are made of gold, he wears a crown of thorns for us. So also his suffering and his love, they draw us to him, because when we see that someone was willing to do so much for us and to suffer so much so that we can be with him, it really draws us to him. And imagine a king that decides to die because one of his servants, مثلاً, committed a crime that's punishable by death, and then the king said, I will take his place, you know. So you ask, oh great king, you'll take the place of this common person who, and you have 100 million like him? Why would you take his place and die? You're the great king. And he says, no, I want to die for this person so that he doesn't have to die, and he takes our place. So again, like, you cannot help loving or being in love with a great king like that, who gave us everything. So it's a kingdom of love, not a kingdom, like, not by force. So how do we make, like, practically speaking now, if we decided, like, okay, I want to make Jesus my king, the king of my heart, I want him to sit on the throne of my heart and lead my life. You know, in these situations, like, let's be honest, if there was a real king, مثلا, a very, very powerful king, and he gives anyone a word or a command, you know, like, he tells someone, please don't forget to change this door or something, like, it's an old door and it needs to be changed by tomorrow. You know, if it's a real king, you're not gonna, if you really respect that king and you fear him as the king, you're not gonna, like, punish and say, like, malish, it's okay, I'll do it next week, it's no problem, it's no big deal, he'll be okay. You know, and so, when we make Jesus our king, we should really, and I'm telling myself this as the first person, like, really respect his commandments, really respect his words. And when the Holy Spirit speaks something in our hearts, even if it's a very quiet whisper, I should obey it right away and say, like, this is the word of the King, like, the great King of the whole universe. He's speaking to me. I'm not even worthy that he speaks to me, but he's speaking to me. And so I must respect the King, and I must respect his words, not say, like, malish, it's okay, I mean, stuff like that. So this shows us also, if are we really respecting the King in our life, or are we, like, and ibn Tamnesh, ibn Ul Malish, and stuff like that. Like, so, as we're living in this world, also society will tell us different things. But we need to always check or go back to our king and see, like, would this be pleasing to our king if we did it? For example, the kingdom of the world, it accepts certain things as correct or as legal. And it accepts divorce, for example. It's not illegal to get divorced under certain conditions. It accepts abortion. It accepts, you know, sex before marriage. It accepts homosexuality. And it accepts many things. And you can do these things and get away with them legally. But the question is, like, will you live under that kingdom, or will you say, like, no, but I have another king, and my king has different commandments, and I respect my own king more importantly. And a very good example, as we were talking a few months ago or weeks, I don't know, when we were talking about Daniel, like, he's such a good example, because he lives in the world, he lives under the reign of other kings, you know, like King Nebuchadnezzar and King Darius. And he's still very successful in the world, right? He's still, like, very successful at his work, so faithful that they can't find anything wrong with him. But at the same time, when it came time, when the rules of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar or the rules of the kingdom of Darius were against the rules of the great king, of his great king in heaven, he said, no. Like, no, I have another king, and it is more important for me to obey my king at all costs, and I know that he will protect me because I'm under his kingdom. So, finally, yeah, all I want to say is that during this week, like, don't, like, me for myself also, I don't want to just say, like, it's another Passion Week and let me try to come to church as much as I can because it's barakah, yani aiza khud barakah wa khalas, and I don't really know, like, the goal, or I have no goal at all for coming to church. I just think, like, the more I come, the more barakah. And barakah is, like, some vague word that we don't know exactly what it means, but we just know it's a good thing to come to church. That's, like, a very, like, weak relationship. But instead, we want to have, like, you know, I want to have the relationship where I'm asking Christ, like, Yani, you came as a king, and you offer to live in my heart. You offer to be my king and my savior. So please, Yan, help me to humble myself. If you are able to humble yourself, like the king who sits upon the cherubim to come on a donkey to come to be my king, I should be humble enough to accept the invitation and to let him be our king, let him be my king, and let him be my savior. And we ask God every day as we come, like, please change us, please save us from our sins and save us from our troubles, and so that by the end, like when we're saying Ya Kul Sufuf on the Easter liturgy, that we can really, really rejoice and be so happy that our salvation has come. Like death, which had power over us before, now all of a sudden it has no death, like it has no power at all over us. Death seems very small, very insignificant, and we only have good news ahead of us. We only have like an exciting future ahead of us with our King Jesus. And so, as long as we accept him to be our King and Savior. And in Sukta Tigoma also, you'll find all these keywords like power, glory, honor, majesty, the Lord, our King, and our Savior. So, as you hear these words over and over and over, meditate again during the week and ask yourself, like, is he really my King? Am I acting like he's my King? Am I acting like he's my Savior? دلوقتي هقولكوا الكلمة المختصرة بالعربي يعني هنسيب نص تقريبا كده هقولكوا بس الحتت المهمة احنا بس بنقول ان يعني الاسبوع اللي جاي ده عايزين مش عايزين يعني نيجي الكنيسة بس عشان نبقى بنقول يعني جايين ناخد بركة وخلاص يعني هنيجي البسخة هنيجي كل يوم قد ما نقدر كده عشان ناخد بركة واحنا مش عارفين يعني ايه بالظبط ايه البركه دي او هتغير ايه في حياتنا فكنا بنقول ان المسيح لما بيجي في حياه اي واحد مننا ويدخل قلبنا لازم يبقى فيه تغيير وقلنا برضو ان زكا لما الرب المسيح دخل بيته زكا ما قالش بس لك يا ده انا اخدت بركه وراح قال لكل اصحابه شفت ده المسيح جالي البيت وفرح قوي يعني اخدت بركه حلوه خالص لكن كان في فعلا تغيير في حياته وتاب من اللي كان فيه وادى للفقراء ويعني كل حياته اتغيرت فاحنا كمان يعني عايزين نعرف ان بنيجي الكنيسه عشان ربنا يغيرنا عشان يعمل فينا حاجة وما نبقاش بعد الأسبوع ده زي ما كنا قبل الأسبوع أو سنة بعد سنة نبقى زي ما كنا يعني لكن عايزين ربنا فعلا يجي كملك وكمخلص ويخلصنا من مشاكلنا ومن خطايانا وينقذنا ووصلنا يعني I think فهمتوا الحتة دي it means من العبري عبري هوشيانا فقلنا برضو ان this is يعني اكنه واحد بيغرق وبيطلب من واحد يجي ينقذه وبعدين لما يكون واحد بيغرق عارفين في البيسين في دايما واحد لايف جارد مش عارف بيسموه ايه فمنقذ مين؟ فالمهم يعني هيجي لما الواحد بيغرق يشوف حد جاي ينقذه هيبقى فرحان قوي ويعني بيندهى عشان يجي ينقذه فاحنا كمان النهارده فرحانين جدا 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 لان يعني بقالنا كتير قوي يعني في الخطايا بتاعتنا وفي حياتنا يعني it's very low وكل حاجه sadness وكده لكن ربنا بيجي المسيح بيدخل كملك وبيغير كل حاجة فاحنا فرحانين ان هو هيجي يغير فينا فعايزينه فعلا يجي يغير فينا مش عايزينه يجي ويمشي ونقول ايه ده حصل ايه كده طب العيد جه طب ناكل لحمة بقى خلاص وبعدين اوكي وسكيب ذات ويعني اخر نقطة بس ان بنقول ان المسيح لما دخل اورشليم دخل على اتان صح حمار بس قحش ما كنتش عايز اقول الكلمه بس داخل على قحش. فهو بيجي مش بيجي كملك يعني جامد كده ويكسر البيبان ويدخل، لكن بيجي ويستنى على الباب بتاع قلوبنا ويعني بهدوء كده، واحنا اللي عايزنا احنا نختار ان هو يبقى الملك بتاعنا، مش عايز يخش بالعافيه. ففي من يعني ممكن نكون بعدنا مثلا عن الكنيسه شويه او بعدنا عن ربنا، ومش هنلاقي حد يعني بيدخل يكسر الباب بتاعنا وياخدنا. هو المسيح كده حنين قوي و very very humble، متواضع قوي. فاحنا كمان عايزين نعزمه يعني نفتح له الباب عشان يدخل ويبقى الملك والمخلص بتاعنا. فالاسبوع ده واحنا بنقول فوق تاتيجوم وكده نفتكر دايما ان يعني لما بنقول ان هو ملكنا ومخلصنا، نسأل نفسنا يعني هل فعلا احنا بنخلي المسيح يبقى ملك في حياتنا يعني كل تفكيرنا وكل كلامنا وكل حاجات بنعملها، هل المسيح فعلا الملك في حياتنا ولا احنا بس بنقول كده يعني. فربنا يدينا كلنا اسبوع جميل قوي قوي قوي، واسبوع كده مليان صلوات وطوبة وكل الحاجات الحلوة عشان فعلا نفرح في عيد القيامة مع بعض. Glory be to God forever and ever.